This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Scott Simon.
I'm honored that you would select me to be the first Director of National Intelligence. Providing timely and objective national intelligence to you, the Congress, the departments and agencies, and to our uniformed military services is a critical national task. Critical to our international posture, critical to the prevention of international terrorism, and critical to our homeland security.
John Negroponte, President Bush's nominee to serve as the nation's first Director of National Intelligence, speaking at the White House on Thursday. Our own Director of National Intelligence is NPR Senior News Analyst Dan Shore. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, Scott, and thank you.
Mr. Negroponte, former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, current ambassador to Iraq. He comes out of the diplomatic corps for many years. Does his selection suggest this post requires a diplomat as much or more than a spy?
Well, not necessarily. The job had been offered to the former CIA director, Robert Gates, perhaps other intelligence officials. The White House really was never quite enthusiastic about the idea of having an NDI, an intelligence czar. But what really happened was that the 9/11 Commission fought very hard for it, and behind the 9/11 Commission, there was a very potent lobby, the families of the victims. And so the White House finally gave in and said, all right, we'll do it. But I'm not clear that they wanted a specific kind of person.
The job of this director of intelligence will be to coordinate the activities of 15 different U.S. intelligence agencies. Eight alone are in the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. Now, these are agencies that culturally don't share information. The whole idea is to get information and pass it along, but not to swap it out with others. How difficult is this job and that culture going to be?
Well, the job is going to be very difficult. And by the way, I think Negroponte may already have won his first battle in the Great Turf War. The White House has decided that he will deliver to President Bush the daily document, which is called the President's Daily Brief, which means that he stands now between the whole intelligence community and the president, which is a position, I think, of a certain amount of power. But I think Negroponte continues to have the problem that of the various people who don't like the idea of being under a czar, there's none who hates it more than Defense Secretary Rumsfeld, who hates the very idea that if he wants to send some drones over Iran, or if he wants to find out one thing or another on the battlefield, that he has to go through Negroponte to do it. And he's indicated his irritation all this past week.
Well, we're going to talk about his appearance before several congressional committees in a moment. I want to ask you first, in Iraq, the Electoral Commission there certified the election results, the Shiite slate, as had been expected, won a plurality of votes. The Kurdish parties, though, finished second, made a very strong showing as well. Mm-hmm. And now there's bargaining going on for the top positions, and Ahmed Chalabi, a name that we thought had been...
A name to conjure with.
Exactly. He's even names even being bruited about as perhaps prime minister. There are other names being bruited about, too, to be fair. But what does this represent?
Well, you can call it a comeback, except I don't think that Chalabi has ever been away. He was blamed or credited with feeding a lot of dubious information about weapons stockpiles to help justify the invasion. He was apparently the poster boy of the Pentagon, but the CIA never trusted him and never liked him. He was also, by the way, a source for Judy Miller of the New York Times on the weapons stockpiles that helped to propel us into war. Also, there was some suspicion at some point that Chalabi was feeding secrets to Iran, which he has denied. But, you know, Scott, democracy is democracy. Chalabi has apparently managed to get the backing of the plurality Shiite parties, and that does give him a good chance of getting the prime ministership, whatever may be said in Washington.
CIA Director Porter Goss told the Senate Intelligence Committee this week that the war in Iraq is helping terror organizations to recruit terrorists and that insurgents in Iraq are being trained in urban warfare.
Yes.
Which is training they can clearly take elsewhere in the world. How does the director's testimony square with the view the administration has had of the war in Iraq and the success there?
Well, that's interesting. The president and the Pentagon have always maintained that you had to beat the terrorists in Iraq, and that might spare us having to fight terrorists on our own soil. Goss indicates that there really weren't terrorists on Iraqi soil until the invasion, and now they are a significant terrorist threat spreading into cells in various other parts of the world. I don't know what got into Porter Goss's mind to stand there and indicate that there is now a much greater terrorist threat than there was when we started this adventure in Iraq.
Let me ask you about, you indicated Defense Secretary Rumsfeld appearances before several congressional committees this week, House Armed Services, Senate Appropriations Committee. They both had, I think it's safe to say, some aggressive questioning about events in Iraq. What do you make of Mr. Rumsfeld's appearances?
Well, he showed a certain testiness that I've never quite seen before. I just wonder whether he knew on Wednesday that on Thursday there was going to be a director of national intelligence appointed, and whether that might have been responsible for the way in which, when asked how many insurgents there are, he didn't want to answer, doesn't know. I think that there's going to be a continued tension between the Pentagon and the new director of national intelligence.
Of course, on Monday of this week, former Lebanese Prime Minister Rafiq Hariri was killed in Beirut. A car bomb exploded near his convoy.
Yeah.
Some people in Lebanon and elsewhere are blaming the Syrian government for the killing. The White House says it is considering pursuing sanctions against Syria. President Bush has demanded that Syrian troops withdraw from Lebanon. What do you make of now this seems to be a crisis between that has been, or a face-off between Syria and Lebanon?
Yeah, and in addition, Syria has now formed some kind of an ad hoc alliance with Iran, which creates another big problem in that part of the world. Syria denies having anything to do with the assassination, with the bombing of Hariri. Secretary Rice says they should be held at least indirectly responsible because of their constant interference in Lebanese affairs. There is growing up, yet another big problem, continuing problem in the Middle East, whether or not the Syrians assassinated Hariri.
And President Bush, of course, departs for Brussels tomorrow. European Union summit next week will also be in Germany and Slovakia. The point of the trip?
Well, the point is fence mending, of course. Fence, especially with President Chirac, where the fences really need mending, but also speaking to all the European countries and saying that we really love you, we need your help, and if you provide a little extra help for what we're trying to do in the way of raising an army in Iraq, that would be very useful, even if you're willing to let these people do their training work outside Iraq, that would also be helpful. It is that famous thing, fence mending.
Thanks very much, Dan Shore.